Welcome back to Security for Legal SaaS. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 8, SQL Injection and ORM Safety. Alice, this is a vulnerability that was first documented in 1998. Are we really still talking about it in 2026?
We are, because it's still causing catastrophic breaches. Move it, 2023. A single SQL injection, CVE 2023-34362. A CVE is a common vulnerabilities and exposures identifier. The standard way security flaws are cataloged. Severity score 9.8 out of 10. Compromised 2,773 organizations and exposed 95 million people's data. It's a solved problem at the code level. The fix has existed for two decades. And it keeps happening because developers take shortcuts.
Right. So explain the mechanics. How does injecting SQL actually work?
It exploits a fundamental flaw in how many applications build database queries. A database query is the instruction your application sends to its database to retrieve or modify data, written in SQL, structured query language. If you construct a SQL query by concatenating user input directly into the query string, you're mixing code and data. The database can't tell where your intended query ends and the attacker's additions begin.
Give me a concrete example in a legal context.
You have a case search endpoint. A lawyer types a citation into a search box, and your backend builds a query. Query, select from matters, where citation equals, and then you paste in whatever the user typed, wrapped in quotes. If the user types a normal citation, it works fine. But if they type single quote space or a space 1 equals 1, now your query says select all matters where citation equals empty string, or 1 equals 1. 1 always equals 1. The query returns every matter in the database.
Every matter? Across all tenants?
If your tenant isolation is only enforced at the application layer and not in the query itself, yes. Every client's privileged documents, litigation strategy, billing records, returned in one query.
That's the simple case. What about the more sophisticated versions?
Blind injection is the scary one. The attacker can't see query results directly. Maybe the endpoint only returns found or not found, so they ask binary questions. Is the first character of the admin password hash greater than M? If the response comes back in 100 milliseconds, the answer is no. If it takes 5 seconds, because they added a conditional sleep command, the answer is yes. With automated tools like SQL Map, an open source tool purpose-built for exploiting SQL injection, they extract entire databases this way, character by character. It takes minutes, not hours.
Right. Okay, so the fix. Parameterized queries.
The fix is absolute, and it's been available since the late 90s. A parameterized query separates the SQL structure from the data at the protocol level. You write the query with placeholders, question marks, or named parameters, and pass the user's input separately. The database engine receives them as two distinct things. The parameter is always treated as a data value, never as SQL code. No matter what characters it contains, it cannot alter the query structure.
And modern ORMs, object relational mappers, as we covered in episode 7, do this automatically.
When you use the ORM's query builder, yes, Prisma's FindMany, Sal Kaminer's filter method, Django's ORM, they all generate parameterized queries under the hood. If you write prisma.matter.findMany where core code equals usint, that's safe. The ORM parameterizes it.
So why does injection still happen if ORMs prevent it?
Because every ORM has an escape hatch. Prisma has 12 curry dollar raw ansys, Salsoon has text with string formatting, Django has .raw and .extra. These exist for complex queries the query builder can't express. Window functions, recursive CTEs, common table expressions, a way to build complex queries in stages, full text search with custom ranking. Developers reach for them, and then they concatenate user input because it's faster than figuring out the parameterized syntax.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the rule for code review is, search for those escape hatches.
Exactly. In a Prisma codebase, grepfer, toQuery, .amsys. In Salpinu, look for text combined with strings or .format. Both are Python ways of pasting variables directly into strings, which is exactly what you don't want near a database query. In Django, search for .raw and .extra. Every instance should be examined for user input flowing into the string. Static analysis tools, programs that scan your source code for vulnerabilities without running it, like SendGrep, can automate this with taint tracking rules, which follow data flow from untrusted input to sensitive operations.
You mentioned something called second-order injection in the research. That's a nastier variant.
Much nastier because the injection point and the vulnerability are in different code paths. Here's the scenario. A user registers with the username admin single quote dash dash. Your registration code uses parameterized queries. Perfectly safe. The value is stored as is in the database. 6 months later, someone writes an admin panel that builds an audit log query by reading usernames from the database and concatenating them. That stored username is now injected into a vulnerable query. The original input point was safe. The vulnerability is in completely different code that reads from the database.
That's terrifying. How do you defend against it?
The principle is, treat all data as untrusted, including data from your own database. Every query that includes variable data must use parameterized statements, regardless of where that data originated. It came from our own database is not a safety guarantee. It came from user input at some point.
What about database-level defenses? Is there anything beyond parameterized queries?
Defense in depth. First, principle of least privilege. Your application's database user should have only the permissions it needs. Select, insert, update on specific tables. Never drop, create, or system admin privileges. If injection occurs, the attacker is constrained by the user's permissions. Second, for multi-tenant legal SaaS, PostgreSQL rule-level security, RLS for short, you define policies at the database level that restrict which rows each user can see. Even if an injection bypasses your application code, the database itself enforces tenant isolation.
That's a genuine safety net. Even a successful injection can't cross tenant boundaries.
Correct. The application sets a session variable identifying the current tenant, and the RLS policy filters every query. An attacker who achieves injection can only access their own tenant's data, which they already had access to. It's not a replacement for parameterized queries, but it's a critical containment layer.
How should teams test for SQL injection?
Three levels. First, automated scanning. Tools like SQL Map, Burp Suite, or OWASP Zap, which are specialized security testing tools that probe your application for vulnerabilities against your staging environment. They'll find the obvious cases. Second, code review with static analysis, SendGrep or CodeQL rules that track data flow from API inputs to raw query functions. Third, manual testing on high-value endpoints. Submit a single quote and watch the error response. Submit Boolean conditions and compare responses. Submit time delay payloads and measure response times. Any variation means potential injection.
Right, and the error messages matter too, right? You don't want to leak database details.
Never expose raw database errors to users. A stack trace showing post-Postgren error near character 47 tells the attacker exactly where their injection syntax broke. Return generic error messages to the client. Log detailed errors server-side for your team.
So, the summary. Parameterized queries prevent first-order injection completely. ORMs provide this by default, but have escape hatches that reintroduce risk. Second-order injection requires treating even database-sourced data as untrusted. And row-level security provides containment if everything else fails.
And the uncomfortable truth. This is a completely solved problem. Every breach from SQL injection in 2026 is a choice someone made to skip the established, well-documented, universally available defense.
Next episode. Cross-site scripting. When the attacker's code runs in your user's browsers, different injection target, same devastating consequences.
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistance. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.